You're listening to the Build Assets Online Podcast. Learn how you can build a diverse and sustainable income online from two brothers who actually do it. Now, here are your hosts, Mike and Joe.
What's going on, everyone? Joe and Mike back at it again. BuildAssetsOnline.com. As usual, we have a guest on the show, another successful student. What else is there to say, Mike? This is just week after week after week.
Well, we haven't been on here in a while, so people might be thinking we quit or we don't have any successful students, but alas, we have one more at least, and her name is Gia, and she's here with us. So welcome, Gia.
Hello. Good. Thanks for having me.
Great. So, yeah, you've been in the Elite Fleet or in our dropshipping course for how long now?
I think I bought your course in January, so about 7 months.
Cool. Yeah, so I remember at one point, you know, you were messaging us and you're like, I'm going to be the first female on the success student. And yeah, Here you are, you did it. So why don't you take us through kind of your background, your journey to dropshipping, and, you know, just how you got to this point.
Sure. So it kind of started for me last year. E-com started for me in November of last year. I was working for like a smaller company. It was kind of like a mom and pop company, and it was very close-knit, and I actually really liked that job. I learned a lot there, and I started in customer service and kind of worked my way up, and I ended up doing a lot of marketing for them and some management positions. And me and my partner actually wanted to buy the company because they were planning on retiring and we didn't really know what we would do after that. So we were like, we should just buy it. But we found out that they were obligated to sell it to corporate. So I was like, I really want to start a business. I want to be a boss so I can travel. And they like traveled to Amsterdam for a month. And I was like, that's what I want to do. I want to be able to go somewhere for a month and just leave it to somebody else to take care of. But when I found out that that wasn't going to be a possibility to buy it, I started looking into different business opportunities, and e-com kind of caught my attention. And then shortly after I looked into e-com, I found out they were actually selling the company in a month. So I was like, oh my gosh, it's like happening way faster than I thought it would. And so I just started trying to learn everything I could about e-com as fast as possible. And I watched like hundreds of hours of YouTube videos, I'm sure, and started in low ticket like everybody else. I actually skipped Thanksgiving. My partner went to see her family and I stayed home and just like enveloped myself in e-com and reading books and trying to figure out what I was going to do. And I bought a really crappy course from Franklin Hatchett. Do you guys know him?
He is very popular on YouTube. I mean, I think he has over a million subscribers or something like that. I believe he's from the UK, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it was the first course I bought. So I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. So I have to start somewhere. So I bought that course. And during that Thanksgiving week, I was like researching suppliers. And shortly into it, I was just like, I don't think this is what I want to do. Like, I don't want to have angry customers and crappy products and like a month of shipping.
Can you walk through a little bit? Because to be honest with you, I mean, all right, to be fair, Mike and I hate on low ticket dropshipping all the time. And I truly believe in my heart of hearts that it's a complete waste of time 99.9% of the time. But I am just curious, what did they have you, like, what did the course have you do? And do you believe that if you had some more experience or maybe stuck at it, that you could have seen some success with it?
Maybe, but I mean, it took me forever just to find a product I thought might sell, and then contacting the suppliers for that product was really difficult. Like, there was a communication issue, and I just didn't see how I could make that work. Like, it just none of it panned out for me the way that it did other people. So like when I looked at it, I was like, I could do this and sell it for this much. And after everything, I just don't see where the profit's at. So I just didn't want to do it. I had a different idea that was actually high ticket, and I wasn't really sure how I would implement that. So I actually contacted a mentor who wanted to charge me $2,000 for 1 month of mentoring. And I told him what my idea was, which was high ticket. And he was like, that's never going to work. You're not going to be able to do that. You don't have enough money. And these are all the issues that would come up with returns and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, okay. So I felt pretty defeated at that point. And my company was selling soon. And I was like, how am I going to pay my bills? Like, I really don't know what I'm doing. I don't know if I can make this happen. And they offered me a job, corporate did. And I was like, I can either be safe and take this job and have money to pay my bills, or I can continue on with this journey that I really don't know what I'm doing. And I actually saw an interview or a speech by Jim Carrey that really inspired me. And one of the things he said was that so many of us choose our path in life out of fear disguised as practicality. And I was like, God, that's what I would be doing if I took that job. So I just went all in and I turned the job down, and I was like, I'm going to make this work. I'm going to figure it out. I don't know how, but I'm going to. And I just did whatever I could. You know, I was in all those Facebook groups reading everybody's posts about what was working for them. And I came across this guy who was doing really well, and he was in high ticket. And I kind of messaged him and I was like, how are you making this work? Because I was told that it wouldn't work. And so we ended up talking on the phone, and he kind of told me a little bit about what he was doing. And he was like, I'll teach you the way that I do things for $700. And I fell for it. And he had like a small Facebook group going called like Burst Sales or something. You know, there was like 10 people in it all doing high ticket. And so I was in his course for like a month. And one of the other people in his course messaged me and was like, hey, I just want to let you know that he stole all this information from another course. So it's actually not his course. Mm-hmm. And I tried to get my money back from him, but I couldn't. So I was like, okay, well, now I'm a lot in the hole and I don't know what I'm doing. But I had been watching your guys' YouTube videos, and everybody else in that course actually went to the course that he stole all the information from, but I chose you guys. You just seemed really down to earth and kind of like, I don't know. I just had a good feeling about it. So I was like, I'm going to buy their course and see how that goes. And that was the best decision I made. Like, I think I started out doing like the monthly, and then I switched to like the full year with coaching calls because it was the value in the course. It's amazing. Changed my life. You guys, I owe you big time.
Thank you. I got to say, Mike, before you ask your next question, hearing you talk about that, Gia, is very nostalgic, I feel like, because I feel like you're talking about what goes on. Like, I don't know how to like visualize this, but like where me and Mike are at right now, like we were in that place, like, I guess like 5 or 6 years ago, like asking around, like, how, you know, is this working? Is this working? Like, just
exactly.
And when you're in that search for the information, it's an interesting place to be, because you really don't know what works and mm-hmm. what doesn't. And like being where we're at now, like it's so obvious, like how the internet works and how making money online works. But hey, hearing you describe that really, really brought me back. I don't know if it did the same for you, Mike.
That's actually what I was going to say. Her story like almost perfectly encapsulates just so many little things that need to happen in order to get to success. Cause it's, you know, it started with the job, seeing, you know, your boss go to Amsterdam, whatever, taking a month off. And I remember having those exact thoughts. Like when I was at my job, I got 3 weeks vacation time. And I was like, 3 weeks for a whole year, that's nothing. And then, you know, basically you had to make a decision if you were going to stay at your job or you know, go on with the corporate company or try and do your own thing. And yeah, it was very reminiscent, Joe, because it's there's a clear template, a clear blueprint towards what it takes to become successful. And yeah, like you followed it to a T, and it comes down to not even just putting in the work once you have the right information, but to even get to the right information is such a struggle, and it requires so much motivation and mental fortitude. So yeah, that put a smile on my face hearing that.
Yeah, it really does. Anybody starting out, I would recommend to read books. Read a lot of books, because I read this book called Psycho-Cybernetics, and it's basically about how the brain is a machine. And I read that book, and when I was in this position of like, I don't know what I'm doing, I don't know how to make this work, I don't even know where I'm going, that book, there's an analogy in the book, like, so if you dropped a pen in the dark and you gave your brain the goal, like, I need to find that pen, you're going to start reaching around in the dark and touch a lot of stuff before you find the pen. And I was like, that's kind of where I'm at. You know, I'm in the dark and I'm looking around for stuff, and it's just part of the journey. Like, you just, all you have to do is start and just keep going. And then eventually you'll create a pathway, however zigzaggy it is, but you'll get there.
Yeah. And people always just want a direct path. But I think those types of people aren't actually serious. They're just, I don't even know what it is. Because, yeah, if you really want something, yeah, you're going to scratch and claw your way there. You're not going to say, oh, is this the quickest way I'm going to get there? Does this actually work? People want, like, all the answers before they actually jump in and do something. And you basically jumped in before you had any answers. And that in itself creates a situation where you have to succeed. And so, yeah, it may not be the most direct path, but there is no real direct path. Joe and I, you know, obviously we've done a bunch of things. We've made a bunch of stores. We've created courses, and we're still learning things. We're still refining things. And so, you know, we'll get into how many stores you have and that type of journey. But like, our first store, you know, was pretty not greatly executed. Our second store better, third store, and it just keeps getting better and better. So if you ask us what a direct path is, you know, we'd give you something that for sure works because you've done it, and you know, we have many students that have done it, but there's always ways to improve and to gain efficiency. So yeah, why don't you walk us through, you know, you got our course, you started doing things, like what was that like?
Yeah, so I spent, actually when I came to the course from the previous guy who kind of scammed me, I already had a website set up. So I already had my domain and my business was registered. And I remember the first thing that Joe said to me was, that's not a domain name we recommend. And I was like, I know it's not, but I'm already like this far in, so I'm just gonna try to make it work. And I went through the course, and Joe kind of told me, like, scrap what you have website-wise and just start over using the Empire theme, which is what you recommend. And so I did that, and I spent quite a while building my website, probably like a month, and then contacting suppliers and getting all that set up. I feel like my niche is pretty competitive because I had a really hard time getting suppliers, and I had to kind of get creative with my concept, I guess, to get different product types on my store. So I didn't actually start running ads until like April. And it was crazy, like 2 weeks into running ads, I don't know if you remember, but I had an 18K day.
Yeah. I remember that.
It was, I honestly, like, I got a really big order, and when it came through, I was like, is this a scam? Is somebody scamming me? Is this real? I don't think this is real. But I checked all the, like, the address and everything checked out. And I was like, I guess it works, you know, it's proven. Yeah. It's what you guys teach works. It did, yeah.
And what'd you make on that?
Like my profit?
Yeah.
It was like $2,300.
Wow, that's nothing to sneeze at. So you said that was around April, right? You started running ads?
Yeah, that was in April. I think I did 58K that month, which is crazy because I only spent $1,500 on ads, which that's a pretty big return.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. And to do 58K like your first month is absolutely insane, because Joe and I, you know, like the first, it took us probably a year and a half to even get to those numbers because we didn't have a direct path, right? So that was April. When did you stop working at that job?
My last day at my job was on December 4th. So I was just kind of like learning that whole time.
Okay. So it was about 4 or 5 months of, you know, just searching for information and getting things ramped up. And then basically 2 weeks after that, you're making sales and making $2,300 profit in a day. Right. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say I'd spent like way too long on my website. I think most people get it up much faster, but I did all my own product uploads and I did a lot of like custom coding and I don't know.
Let me ask you a question, because you said that you stayed home one Thanksgiving or whatever, and you were just like, I forgot what you said. You were just working on not your past thing that you were working on. Do you feel you applied that level of like intensity to this, where you're just 24/7, you got 20 million tabs open, you're like looking at the competitor's website, going back and forth? Like, were you, how was, like, during the process, what was your level of intensity and like what kind of stuff were you doing?
Yeah, so I mean, I treated it like it was a full-time job, so I would get up and that's what I would work on all day. But yeah, I mean, I feel like my level of intensity has never really stopped. I've always been trying to build. I have like, I'm really critical of myself and I'm like, I need to be the best, you know, I need to be perfect and I need to be the first girl on the podcast and be successful. So I mean, I worked on it constantly, and just getting suppliers alone was hard, but learning the ads for me was probably the hardest part. It was kind of daunting, and I'm sure Mike got sick of me constantly like asking him stuff in the chat and scheduling coaching calls for the ads. But I think that was probably the hardest part for me.
Yeah, no, I was asking because I was just thinking about during this whole conversation, like how many websites I've looked at and like how many traffic reports I've run for like different websites and like how many details I've looked at of different websites. And I just feel at some, so obviously we give the direct path, but really it starts to, like when you really see stuff start to come into fruition and gain a full understanding, you have to go through that process of looking at a million websites and loading the ad dashboard a million times and just looking at it day after day after day until it starts to like make sense.
Yeah, definitely. I don't think you can really, like in the beginning when I wasn't really good with the ads, like if I just left it for like a couple days, I would come back and like something would be wrong. Like I wasted like $300 in a day or a weekend on something, like a small mistake I made. And ever since then, I'm just like, I'm not going to go a day without checking my ads. Like it has to be checked constantly to make sure everything's working properly. And, you know.
Yeah. But with that being said, I mean, you did 58,000 in sales off of what, like $1,500 ad spend. So for all that you claim that you didn't know, it still worked out pretty well. And all the mistakes that you made were really just a drop in the bucket compared to, you know, the overall picture of where your store's at now, right?
Yeah, definitely. You definitely learn a lot from your mistakes, for sure.
Yeah, because that's really the only way to, especially with ads, is to have mistakes happen and to figure out why they happened. And now you understand the ads platforms a little bit better. But I don't want to get too off track here, Joe. But even the Thanksgiving thing really made me nostalgic of, you know, when we first started doing things, because it was always on Thanksgiving that there'd be a huge business revelation for us.
Oh, wait, where'd he go? Your camera turned off.
My video went out.
Yeah, that's weird. There you go.
It must be a sort of ghost, but yeah, I remember 2015 Thanksgiving, we were like really brainstorming on Kindle, and then 2016 Thanksgiving, you know, we were with Jared, and that kind of sparked that partnership. So yeah, it's always, you know, like moments like that, like holidays, where the majority of people just want to not think about anything and, you know, enjoy their food and do whatever. We were always thinking about the next thing we could do and just, again, trying to scratch and claw our way towards, you know, where we wound up now.
Yep. That's how it goes, I guess. If you're determined, that's how you have to have it.
And I will say, we're not going to get too off track of the interview, but I do feel on that subject that as you go along, and I guess as you get more capital and more experience, I feel like it becomes almost a different level of intensity. It becomes like more execution at scale and really building the systems right and getting all the right people in place to do what you want to do, because you already know what needs to happen. So it's just a matter of like doing it, which is kind of a different thing than like working your way through it and not fully knowing what to do. And not that we know how to do everything, but when we do something, we have a little bit of a better picture of what we need to do. And I'm sure you mm-hmm. will over the next few years, as you do more projects and whatever, I'm sure it'll be, you won't be like searching for the pen in the dark.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, how bright is the room now? Can you see the pen?
I feel like I found my pen. When I bought your course, I felt like I picked up pen in the dark. It was definitely like, I mean, you provided all the tools I needed. So everything I needed was there. And I used like my own personal experience as well. And it just, I mean, it really took off. I was really impressed. My first goal was like, if I could just make like 10,000 this month, that'd be cool to start with. And then I did 58 and I was like, whoa. Like when I had that 18K day, you know, I was out celebrating. And then the thought crossed my mind, like, how am I going to pay for this? You the know? Sale? Yeah. Cause my business account was new. That was kind of a big hurdle for me in the beginning. Cause I saved up money to do this because I knew I wanted to start a business, and so I'd been saving up, and that was the money that I had to start and also pay my bills in the meantime before I made, you know, a profit. But I think I had like $9,000 available, but for an 18K day, I think I need quite a bit more than that. Mm-hmm. So I had to like use several different credit cards and.
Wow. Yeah. Well, at least, you know, depending on the supplier and the situation, you have a couple days before they actually want payment from you. So, right, that's enough time to get the payment from the order, and now you just pay off the supplier. But yeah, a lot of people have that issue, is that they don't have a big enough credit limit sometimes to pay for these huge orders that they get. And yeah, so I'm glad you found a way around that. Obviously, you know, there's ways to do like wire transfers to a supplier or even like checks and stuff, but where there's a will, there's a way. And yeah, after a couple of years, the banks usually will give you a nice little increase on on your credit cards. And yeah, also, you know, the other benefits of using credit cards, I don't want to get into too much here. I don't like talking about it, but
maybe you get some nice travel rewards or something like that.
Oh yeah, I've racked up quite a bit of like rewards points on my credit cards, so that's been nice.
Yeah, we have a whole interview with that, but I think, what was the mile method?
Trevor, mile method, yes.
Yeah, so check out that interview if that's something you're interested in.
Yeah, I've actually seen that, and I planned on contacting him to try and learn his ways.
Yeah, it's certainly very, very valuable. And yeah, anyone listening should also check out that interview, because yeah, that's like one of the best things about dropshipping is the fact that your expenses, you could basically pay for all of them on a credit card, and they're all essentially write-offs. So yeah, I don't want to get too much into that, but it's like, That's probably one of the main reasons I'd be very hesitant to ever give up on dropshipping. So, yeah. So what is next for you? Do you want to keep just building out that store? Do you want to make a new one?
Yeah. So I definitely have a lot more that I can do with this store. So like, I haven't even really like dabbled in the SEO, like maybe a little bit. I definitely have watched all the videos and like know about it. I just haven't like implemented it as much as I want to. So I definitely want to keep building, and eventually I want to hire a VA. But as of right now, I'm too selfish to share my money.
Oh, true. And you're doing everything yourself right now.
Yeah, I'm doing everything myself, and it's a lot of customer service, like more than I thought there would be. But you know, the more sales I'm making, the more calls are coming in. So I do want to be able to like travel without having to worry about my phone and keeping it on me all the time. So eventually I will hire a VA, and then I would love to start a new store, or just, I have several business ideas in my head that I also want to start. And now that I have more time, I can try to figure out how to make those things happen.
Mm-hmm. Do you mind sharing with people what your sales are this month?
Yeah, so this month, I actually got a sale while we were talking. So I'm at $137,000.
Nice. Wow. And to do all that customer service yourself is quite a big undertaking. I feel like we started outsourcing things before the six-figure a month mark.
Yeah.
I remember, I remember one time we did like $70,000 a month on a particular store, and it was just like, yeah, I was doing a lot of customer service. So how much time do you feel like you spend a day manning the ship?
I mean, I try to work on this business in itself, or just like business at like a full work day. So from 9 to 5, I try to like work on this, or work on myself, or read a book, just like working on something productive, which could be, yeah. So, but the customer service, I think for this, it really depends on the day, but I feel like I get like 5 to 10 calls a day at least, and some chats. So like, I went out of town a few weeks ago with my family. We went to like a water park resort, and I remember just like trying to answer chats and stuff, and like we had our car packed, and somebody called and was like, I need you to send me this manual. And so I had to like go get my laptop out of the car, send him the manual, and like I just kept getting calls and trying to be on vacation but also work, because I didn't want to miss any sales, you know.
Yeah definitely. Again, reminiscent of things we used to do. You know, I remember even our cousin Jared one time closed a sale while he was in line at Disney Universal Studios or something. So yeah, it's ridiculous stuff like that you do. But yeah, I think you'll find once you start outsourcing that type of thing, and it'll be a bit hard to let go. But once you do that, and you can take a car ride and, you know, do something and not have to look at your phone, that becomes addicting. And you never want to go back to having to answer a call while you're, you know, trying to enjoy yourself. So, yeah, I mean, spent plenty of vacations running off to take a phone call or doing chats at the dinner table. But it's all part of the journey for sure.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it's not definitely that bad, right? At least you're able to go and, you know, go to a water park and do those things. Whereas if you were at that that previous job, they're going to the water park, you're sitting there at the store.
Oh yeah, it's definitely better. Like, I mean, I feel like I just like got what I wanted out of life, which is awesome, because I wanted time to travel. Like you said in the beginning, you know, 3 weeks of paid time off is not very much. That doesn't leave you much time to like live your life. And I only got 2 weeks of vacation, so a lot of that we had to spend going to see family. And it's like, okay, you get like 1 week out of the year to do what you want to do. And I was like, that's not how I want to live my life. I want to do what I want to do. You know, I want to travel and do stuff. And now I can do that. It's great.
Yeah. Have you thought about any plans yet to do like a month or a long type of vacation?
I don't have anything long planned yet, but I'm going to Asheville, North Carolina on Monday, and Hawaii in March next year.
Okay, you're setting things up.
Yeah, definitely making plans.
Yeah.
I've been to Asheville.
I would say, yeah.
You should go to the, they're a little bit far, but if you can, you should go to the Luray Caverns. I think it might be like an hour or two, but it's like a really crazy cave that you could go into.
More bats?
No bats. It's like totally void of life. But it's like
crystal. That sounds cool.
If you look at like I don't know if you, I'm sure you've seen like a crystal or whatever, but like everything in it is like earth formation. So it's kind of like, it's kind of cool.
The whole thing is like a crystal.
The whole thing is like an
crystal
earth
cave,
an
like
earth
a,
crystal.
Like
yeah, but it's not like shiny, but it's like the water's dripping and then like it froze, it like stopped dripping at a certain point. So it's like, I don't know. It looks like like looks like a crystal. Anyway.
Well, you can close the sale in the crystal cavern.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's service there.
Yeah, you better hope.
Yeah, I'm kind of worried about how I'm gonna spend a week on vacation and still do this. But I'm just gonna have to make it happen.
Yeah, you could definitely make it happen. And you know, what we found is like, even if you miss some calls, you miss some chats, whatever, you could always call them back. And you know, I think that was just a big hurdle I had to get over myself as well. Like, I would hate missing calls. I would hate missing chats because it's like those are potential sales, right? But as you get bigger and as you start spending more on ads and as your traffic grows, it all just kind of levels out and it becomes this unstoppable type force that it's like you're able to live your life because you're not like back in the day when we would do like 30,000-40,000 in sales or something. It's like every call was life or death because you didn't know when the next sale was coming, right? So yeah, eventually that'll go away, and hopefully by the time you go to Hawaii you don't have to be taking calls. That's a 8-hour time difference or so.
Yeah, that would be hard.
So Gia, just to kind of bring it back for a second, you said in the beginning when you were kind of searching for the path forward, you were spending a lot of time in Facebook groups and whatnot. Are you still spending any time in these kind of Facebook groups where people, I guess, you know, talk about online business?
Not as much, actually, because now I'm part of the Elite Fleet, which is great. And like everybody there kind of like knows what you're going through and everybody can like share their experiences, which has been really helpful because like starting this out, like nobody really knew what I was doing and I couldn't really like talk to anybody about what I was doing because I just didn't get it. And so being able to like find people in the Elite Fleet, I've made a lot of friends in there, like having somebody to talk to that kind of like knows what you're going through and what you're doing is really nice.
Yeah.
So I haven't really been in the Facebook groups much now. I'm just hanging out in the Elite Fleet.
Good.
Yeah, I've always thought those groups were kind of like the blind leading the blind a bit.
There's always somebody trying to sell you something in there too. So it's.
Yeah. Facebook, yeah. Reddit, like any sort of public forum, like, I don't know, makes you realize how many people there are online that don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah, it was definitely kind of like that. It's cool to see like people's struggles so you can kind of get an idea of what you're going to go through, but luckily I'm not into the low ticket stuff anymore. I'm so glad that that didn't work out because it just sounds like a nightmare.
Yeah, seems like a natural thing that everyone goes through these days because I mean, these low ticket people, they're doing a good job advertising dropshipping. And then, you know, some of them slip through the cracks and then they find us. So got a hand to them, I guess. With a guy's name, Hatchet.
Yeah, Franklin Hatchet.
Thanks, Franklin.
Oh, man, that course was bad.
Hey, he might sue us, so.
Well,
oh, my bad.
Oh, we're not saying it's bad. She's saying it's bad, but I am curious. So, what I guess I am curious if it actually was was it actually bad, or, well, you said you didn't really fully do it, so
I'll just say that it was outdated.
I see.
Like it was outdated. So a lot of the stuff, like the videos he was teaching you to make, I mean, they were like really old school commercial type videos. Like I was like, I don't know how anybody would buy something from that. Like it just seems super old school.
I see.
All of his methods just seems like outdated.
So we seem to have some messages in the chat. You have some family watching. I see, Gia. If you have any questions, you could start dropping them in the chat now. We do have a question from the Mr. Bynum 86. He says, how hard was it getting suppliers and how many were you able to get?
It was really hard for me to get suppliers, actually, because my domain name, which is not recommended by you, was very specific and niched down. So I had to have that, at least that one product, in order to launch my ads and make my store. And I had a really hard time. It took me probably a month just to get two suppliers for that. And then when I brought in my concept, I was able to get more. So I think I have like 9 suppliers now, but you just have to be persistent. You know, a lot of those companies are just busy or they're just getting a lot of people contacting them, and you have to find a way to set yourself apart and make them remember you. And I remember there was one company, like a really big company, that I kept trying to find the person I needed to talk to. And it was just like a 3-week process of me trying to get in touch with them. And finally they were just like, well, tell me why we should put you on. Like, and I think I asked Mike to help me with the email. I think I sent him my email that I had written out to see what he would suggest. And they actually onboarded me, so that was nice, but they've been out of stock the whole time, so.
Yeah, I feel like this 2021, you know, there was a lot of stock issues, I think, for every industry, for every sort of business you could think of, you know, even down to like chlorine and stuff like that. But hopefully as we get into 2022, 2023, it's going to be onward and upward for everything, and it should only get easier.
Yeah, things seem to be improving, but I definitely have a lot of stuff still out of stock or on back order, so I'm curious to see like what my success will be when things are in stock.
Yeah
certainly. You know, something that everyone deals with, and when it's a situation where it's every supplier and it's like all the industries, customers are kind of just forced to deal with it. And so, yeah, I mean, it seems to be working out, but even like supplier competition is morphing over the years. You know, I think back in the day, maybe it was easier to get suppliers, but the thing is that there's just so many out there. And if you set up your store the right way, you know, like you said, you were kind of hindered by your domain name, but once you had that initial product, you were kind of able to branch out a little bit. Yeah, if you're able to branch out, then it's really hard to run out of suppliers. So yeah, I don't know. It's like, I think you've exemplified by telling your story. If there's a will, there's a way. And really the people that are going to fail are the ones that are going to, you know, pick a niche, do a store, whatever, and then they're going to call a supplier, and then the supplier's going to, you know, not be like, oh yeah, come right in. Here's our products. Here's our price list. And, you know, if they don't get what they want, then they're just going to quit. So
yeah,
I mean, there's been so many suppliers that we've landed over the last, you know, several years that took a lot of follow-up. And those are usually the best suppliers because they're busy. They're selling their stock. Like, they don't necessarily need you until you know, you can prove something to them. So
yeah, exactly.
That's the deal. So yeah, if anyone has any questions for Gia, throw them in the chat. It's been a while since we did this, Joe. When was our
I know, I think like our stream
2 months.
Yeah, our stream numbers are kinda lackluster right now.
But we gotta get back on the horse.
What are you gonna do? Matt Cool says, watching this is so inspiring. Congrats, Gia.
Thanks, Matt.
Yay.
Yeah, everyone's saying you're an inspiration. And I really enjoyed hearing your story. Because
yeah, I did too, yeah.
It was just, again, a perfect encapsulation.
It's been quite the journey. It feels really good, you know, to see yourself start from, like, the darkness, like, I don't know what I'm doing, to doing, like, 133,000 in a month. It feels really good.
Yeah.
I always just told myself, you know, you can't fail if you don't quit.
That's true.
That is true. So, and that's why, you know, we talk a lot about, like, mindset stuff, or how, you know, we are not huge fans of it, because that's really the only mentality you need to have. And yeah. So I think a lot of mindset work is just how to shift your focus just to get to that sentence you just said. Just don't quit and just keep doing stuff. And so, yeah, I mean, a lot of it comes down to maybe you have to put yourself in that situation like you did. You know, you quit your job before being successful. One of our students and our friend, we interviewed Raz, was the same thing. He quit his job and then started his store. And you know, even myself, like with the Kindle business we had, that, you know, we got suspended as I was quitting my job. So it was that extra spark to, I have no choice but to find this pen.
So, exactly. You gotta find the pen.
Start flailing around until I get it.
Yeah, that's how it worked for me.
Yeah. Yeah. So what would you say has been the most difficult part of the entire process?
Honestly, just not knowing anything about business. Like, I mean, I learned a lot of my old job and like marketing and like how to run a business, but I didn't know anything on the back end. So like the taxes and like setting up your business like professionally or whatever was kind of hard for me. But since I got all that set up, I think just dealing with like the little issues that come up with like something being out of stock, or, you know, I think with one of my suppliers, I lost money on the first 10 orders with them because their price sheet was so confusing. It was really weird. And I thought that the shipping was included in their price and it wasn't. Mm-hmm. So I ended up losing money on the first 10 orders with them. Just like weeding out like suppliers that are not good and like trying to figure out how you're going to make a better profit, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, I have a question for you. At your old job, you said you were doing marketing and stuff. Do you actually feel like that translated to what you're doing now?
Absolutely. I think, honestly, I learned so much from that job that it gave me a lot of confidence to feel like I could do something like this. So like I did a lot of the design marketing. I wasn't like the one, you know, figuring out where to put it. I just did the designs. So I was like, I can build a website that, you know, that's something I could do to make it happen.
Like what were some specific things as far as design that you learned, that you implemented?
Well, when I first started doing marketing for them, I was just doing like the display marketing and email marketing stuff. And they actually asked me to use Photoshop, and I didn't know how to use Photoshop that well. Things were taking me like a really long time. So I like found a different way to do things, which was using Canva, which you guys mentioned on the course. So I just made all the stuff with Canva, and I'm not sure that they even knew that it wasn't Photoshop and it was Canva, but it worked for me and it made it a lot easier, and they liked what I was producing. So like having Canva knowledge and just like how to put stuff together, it just, you know, it helped me a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess it is little things like that, that honestly make a lot of difference when you're trying to build something from scratch, because that's the, you know, you have to build so much momentum because you literally have to learn every single skill from nothing. So it's not just about, oh, create a Shopify store and run the ads and get the suppliers and stuff like that. Like, yeah, even with building a website, you're like, okay, well, I got to change this in the theme. How do I do that? I got to make this thing look nice. How do I do that? Everything, you're starting from scratch. But the good thing is that, you know, after you learn all those things and you build your talent stack, as it were, that when you go to execute on something new, it's so much easier. And hopefully, you know, by the third iteration of that or fourth iteration, now you have people that are that you've trained that are going to do all that stuff for you. So yeah, it's that's why it takes, you know, 6 months, 8 months sometimes just to get your store going if you've never done anything before.
It was definitely all kind of new, and I think if I did a new store now, it would take me much less time. But you're right, it was like every little thing was something I had to learn how to do on my own.
Yeah, because even when we did low ticket, Joe, our brief stint into low ticket, that was still kind of our first exposure to using Shopify, and got you familiar with how to use the platform and like create a site. And that way, once we went over to doing high ticket, it was it was that much easier because now we were kind of vaguely familiar with that type of thing.
And I would say even my experience with doing Amazon FBA before we did Kindle, before we did low ticket, before we did high ticket, definitely helped in the beginning with the supplier side of things, because I was doing wholesale. I actually had a VA at that time who would outreach to suppliers for me to sell on Amazon. Yeah. I wasn't drop shipping. I would buy the stuff, but you know, it was really the same thing.
Yeah, it's just little things like that. And so, yeah, when we first were going to do high ticket, it took us 2 weeks to go from like saying we're going to do this to getting the store up and getting our first sale. But you do have to take into account, you know, the year or two that you were doing other things. I was doing Kindle, and you know, you had started the low ticket site. And Joe, we're on Google Meet here, and so it's going to cut off after an hour.
Oh shoot,
it's a new thing they've implemented after since we've last streamed, so
that's annoying. Wow, we have so many people in the stream. I feel like we should keep going. But no, because I do actually have a lot more things we could talk about, at least for another like 10 minutes.
The clock is ticking now, so.
What do we do?
It's like a time bomb. I don't know.
I would have used an email that I had the Google Workspace on. Can't they just like rejoin the call?
What the, pause the stream and put the spinners on, but
yeah, we'll do that.
To you here.
We'll do that. If that's okay with you, Gia.
I
have something that I wanted to. Well, we have someone asking in the chat. How many products are you advertising on Google now, Gia?
Oh gosh, probably like 200, maybe.
Okay. Oh, that's not too many.
I would say it's good to start small and work your way up, because the ads become really confusing if you have a bunch of stuff.
Yeah. I actually wanted to. So we have a student we were talking about suppliers in one of our private channels right now. We have a student that's kind of struggling with suppliers. And I thought it would be interesting to get your perspective on it. So I'm not going to say like who it is, but I'll basically say the gist of the question. He says that it seems to me like he's mostly emailing, and if he phones, if he does a phone call to follow up, the dealer just basically says there's a department and that deals with new dealers, and that they should send an email there. And it seems like he's having a hard time getting suppliers on the phone, and they're very reluctant for one-on-one calls. So he seems to be having trouble nailing suppliers. Now, just based on what I just said from there, he also says he's a one-man show doing completely on his own. Just like you are a one-woman show doing completely on your own. But when it comes to getting suppliers, unless you're in the UK, my thought is you have to do whatever it takes to get the right person on the phone. When we're in our supplier sprints, like if we were to start a new store, I call, like if the person doesn't call me back in the next day, I'm calling the next day. I'm calling later in the day. I'm not hanging up the phone until I get in touch with the right person to talk to. And then they're going to either say yes or they're going to say no. Because the whole stringing along thing, I feel like that's what really extends the timetable for getting suppliers. You just have to like be on them because, you know, if you've worked for a big company before, even a little company, stuff gets lost in translation. Like, you know, people aren't on top of answering memos and messages and emails. You have to like get them here and now. So, do you have an opinion on that? Like, do you agree with what I said, or would you offer any different advice?
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree with what you said. And you do have to like constantly follow up. So like I made a spreadsheet of all the suppliers I had contacted, when the last time I contacted them was, so that I was able to follow up accordingly and not like miss anybody. But a lot of them did take a long time getting back to me. And I remember at least a couple, if I didn't hear back from somebody, I would contact somebody else in the company and just say, I'm trying to get a hold of this person. Can you please like let them know that I sent them a couple emails, or you know, just try to get in touch with somebody who can pass the information down, and eventually somebody will contact you back.
Yeah, Joe, I don't want to cut you off, but we got under a minute here before it.
All right, let me just put the spinner on and let me mute you guys. We'll be right back.
Right back, folks.
Don't leave. Sorry about that. You should be able to hear now on the stream. Yeah, that's crazy that they do that.
Google, man. They want every dime.
Yeah.
I can't hear anybody.
Oh, you probably have to. Yeah, hold on. You probably have to do the headphone output thing again that you had in the beginning.
Yep. So, luckily, not too many people left during that.
Yeah.
Brief intermission. But
so I mean, Mike, do you are you back, Gia?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Cool. Yeah. So I feel that what we were talking about before. That's good advice. What you said to if you can't get in touch with the right person, talk to someone else and say you're trying to get in touch with this person. And that's a good way to do it. I just feel like sitting around and waiting, even if you've like, I don't think you can call too many times. Unless you're calling like every 30 minutes or something, but like, you know, if you call multiple times a week, I don't think that's too many times, or like every day until you at least talk to someone.
Yeah.
Yep.
Worst that happens is they tell you to leave you alone, leave them alone, and you're not going to get it with them. Whereas you wouldn't have gotten it with them anyway. So.
Yeah, there's nothing to lose really when you're contacting suppliers. So.
Yeah. And I think it's something psychological as well. If you're constantly calling a supplier, it makes it to them, to the supplier, seem like you actually have something to offer. You know, because if you weren't confident in what you were bringing to the table, then you wouldn't be following up as much. So, yeah, I think psychologically they're like, all right, well, maybe the guy really needs, he really has something to give us. So,
well, one thing to think about is that I don't know. Like when you own a bunch of websites, you often get like outreach emails from people. Like people will email you multiple times being like telling about their service or their product or whatever. And then, you know, you could be on your phone, see the email pop up. And you're like, oh, like F off. Like, let me, you know, get rid of you for now. And then maybe on your computer later. Oh, like F off, you know, and then maybe you're on your, then the next time they send a third email and you're at your computer, or, you know, they call you the third time, they leave you the third message. You're like, all right, fine. Let me just talk to them so they leave me alone. So that's another thing about following up that I feel is really, really important.
Yeah, definitely. A lot of my suppliers or people that I've contacted are not accepting new dealers that are under a year old. So when I do hit my 1 year mark, I'll have a lot more opportunity, but you really only need, I mean, you just have to start somewhere. So you just need, you know, a few good suppliers to start. And then you can work your way up, you know?
Yeah. The amount that you need just to get started and to get sales is so low compared to the number that are available to you and will accept you. And so, yeah, even if it takes you a year or two to get those suppliers you really, really want, you know, it is what it is. And I kind of want that because I don't want everyone who's new and doesn't know what they're doing or whatever to get in with a particular supplier. Like, I want to get into the most exclusive supplier agreements possible.
Exactly. Yep.
So
I will say that sometimes, sorry, you go ahead.
No, it's not important.
Okay. I will say sometimes, you know, we've done that where we've waited like years to get a supplier and then we get them and then they suck.
And they suck. Oh yeah. That happens all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we think they're going to be like, oh my God, like they have like 100,000 million search volume, like, but no one can get, like, we think they're going to be great, but no.
Yeah. That definitely happened to me. The one that I contacted multiple people trying to get in with. And I was so happy when I got in with them, but they ended up being like not a great supplier. So it felt like a waste, but
yeah, I know who you're talking about, Gia. And they're a big company.
They are. They have a ton of search volume, but they were just like eating up my ad spend, you know, and like not converting well. And they're out of stock like all the time. So it's just been more of a headache than I anticipated.
Yeah. And inversely, we actually have a student who has them in a different country because they're a big company and he does well with them. So it's just a interesting thing, you know?
Yeah. You just really don't know. I mean,
is this the student that we're partnered with?
Yes.
I think I know it. Okay. That's fine. I know what it is. Anyway, Lewis asks, when doing Google ads, do you run ad groups per product or per brand? This will direct the questions at you, Gia. How do you do it?
Well, you have to segment it out. So it's by brand, but then within that brand, you have each product type. And then below that, you have each product within itself.
Yeah. So to clarify, when you say Google Ads, Lewis, there's, you know, a bunch of different types. So there's shopping ads, there's text ads, right? So anything that's a shopping ad, which is what G is talking about, it's always done by product. What you're advertising are products, but you can essentially just advertise at like at a brand level. So, you know, say you have brand A, you set a bid at 50 cents. It's just going to apply a 50 cent bid to every single product under that brand, but you can segment that out and bid at a complete individual product level, which is eventually what you want to work towards, but you know, it's not the end of the world if you just set like a flat bid towards brands. But yeah, our troubleshooting module actually kind of goes in depth into the pitfalls of that. So do you feel like you ran into like what kind of ad issues did you run into, Gia? What were the biggest ones?
Several actually. So when I first started out, a couple of the mistakes I made was just like not turning off the everything else in a brand. Yep. So like money was just like shooting into that area and it was just like wasted money. So that happened, I think, twice to me. And then also I had a lot of issues with, I also use Microsoft ads. And last month I had a lot of issues with the like generic search terms going into my branded campaign. Mm-hmm. And at this point I was like, I know what I'm doing. Like I know how to recognize a mistake and I just didn't see one there. And I think I even did a call with you and you didn't see anything wrong. And it took like 3 weeks for them, like going through support, trying to get somebody who knows what they're doing. Because when you contact Google Ads or Microsoft Ads, their support doesn't know what they're doing. So they don't understand the way your campaigns are set up and they don't know how to help you. So it was a huge battle for me trying to get Microsoft to fix those ads. But eventually I did get in touch with somebody who knew how to help me and they've recognized the flaw in their algorithm and they were able to fix it. So my ads then were okay. But I mean, I probably wasted like $2,000 last month on Microsoft ads that were just bad.
So it came down to a flaw in the algorithm.
Yeah.
That's why that was happening.
Yeah. Yeah. They said it was a flaw in their algorithm and they actually gave me a credit.
I hope it was a sizable and this credit. Is
why we don't recommend Bing ads because that's insane. Cause I remember we were looking at it and I was like, well, you know, it could be this particular thing. But I was basically like, yeah, you know, they Google and Bing do things in slightly different ways. Bing tries to imitate Google as much as possible, but at the end of the day, they're different platforms. And so I think what I'd recommended to you was like the bids, to adjust your bids and see if that would level it out. But yeah, that's pretty crazy. So
I'm just gonna go to the turlet. You guys could keep talking. Hold on.
Yeah. Have any questions? What the hell? Louis Scholes and Yas Linacker asked the same question, so could have some bots in here. But have you started doing any text ads yet?
Yes, I started text ads last month.
Mm-hmm. Did those work out at all, or are you still experimenting with them?
I'm still experimenting, but they are working out. The ones that I have going anyway, but I definitely have like newer brands on my site that they don't get as much traffic and they're not selling well. So I'm starting to do like text ads for those to see if those ads might go better than just the shopping ads.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's weird because sometimes we have brands that will do really well in one or the other. Like one brand, I remember we used to strictly sell it through text ads. Shopping ads, we had such a hard time getting it to convert, but it would be the same keywords. So yeah, there's something that goes into it. That's why, you know, it is best to do both once you're up and profitable. We always say shopping ads are enough to get you to that point, but mm-hmm. you never really know what's going to do better with a text ad, what's going to do better with a shopping ad. And what's great about text ads is you have so much more control to actually see, say, a brand's demand. Because if it's not getting clicks, then you do a text ad for, you know, the brand name or whatnot. And is it getting search volume? Is it saying you had a bit more? What's the deal? So that's also a good way to troubleshoot.
Yeah.
How was it, Joe?
It's good. It's all good.
Good to hear.
That sensation I was telling you about went away.
I don't know what you're talking about. All right, so yeah, no more questions, but we can wrap it up. I don't know if you have anything else you want to talk about, Gia or Joe.
I think we about covered it. I hope you have fun in Asheville.
Thanks. Yeah, it'll be good. Good to get out.
Yeah.
You driving or are you flying?
I'm flying with my partner and our daughter. She's 9.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
It's funny when I went to Asheville, it was the the first like couple weeks before the situation. I don't know what YouTube like flags, but like let's say the global situation hit.
Panoramic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, before the panoramic hit. And so we flew there. Oh, sorry, I drove there with my wife, and then our friends came, and there was a hurricane, like, or a tornado or something in the airport that they were flying from. And so literally everyone in the the terminal or the gate had to like huddle up, like probably like 1,000+ people, like in a, like all in a crowd, like, cause they all had to get away from the windows.
Wow. That's like, crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this was like right as things were spreading.
Yeah.
But before like anyone actually knew about it. Right. So.
Yeah.
Super spreader event, if you will.
You could say that.
Anyway, thank you so much for coming on, Gia.
And, thanks for having me.
I really enjoy hearing your story, and I hope, you know, everyone got a lot out of it. Austin said, let's go, Gia, real inspiration. A lot of people were inspired, so hopefully.
This is our most inspiring podcast, I would say, to date.
Yeah, definitely, by consensus. So
cool.
Joe, where do people find us again? It's been so long.
Wait, what's our, I think it's buildassetsonline.com/playbook. Yeah, you can go watch our web class. We're probably going to, I mean, we're at this point, I feel like we're probably going to change things up pretty soon. I feel like we've been doing everything the same way in terms of the educational packages that we offer and everything like that. So I feel like a change might be coming in the next few months. I don't know what that change is. I don't know what that change is, but so the basically, if you want to, I don't even know.
Basically, just go to buildassetsonline.com/playbook right now and watch the web class, because Joe is very emotionally unstable and he's liable to just shut things down at a moment's notice. So just hurry up.
I got my finger on the delete button for multiple websites, multiple domains. So.
Yeah, so don't let Joe delete the web class. Please go and sign up. But thanks again, Gia. And as always, guys, take it easy.
Thanks for listening to the Build Assets Online podcast. If you've enjoyed the show, don't forget, subscribe, share, and leave us a rating on whatever platform you might be listening from. And if you're ready to learn how to build your own online business portfolio, start now by visiting buildassetsonline.com/playbook. We'll see you in the next episode.